WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. This is Wes Moss here, right here on WSB Radio in Atlanta. And now also on KRMG Radio in Tulsa. So good morning. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can always email me, radio@yourwealth.com. Another super rocky week on Wall Street, which this won't end. It just continues on. It's very persistent rockiness on Wall Street since the Fed did nothing back on September 17th. So it's been about a week and a half ago. The Fed decided to stay pat, do nothing, not raise rates, give us not a ton of direction. If you looked at where the Dow was back then, it was right around 16,700 on the Dow. Today, it's about 16,300. And I'm rounding, of course, which accounts for about a 2.5% loss. So about a week and a half ago, Fed surprisingly does, well, not so surprisingly, does not a whole lot. And we have kind of dribbled down since then and now to the tune 2.5%. And now, this week, part of that was almost 1.5% of that was for this past week. S&P 500, negative 6% year to date. The Dow was down 8.5% year to date. And both indices are hovering around what we can certainly continue to call correction territory from the highs that were set in May. So yeah, the Dow's down 8.5% for the year, but there was a point where the Dow was up a couple of percentage points. So now we are still net negative from that peak or that high, still in the 10% range for the Dow, pretty darn close on the S&P 500. So we are still in correction mode. And we had two gigantic stories this week. Actually, we had multiple gigantic stories this week, but the big two, of course, the VW colossal mess. It's a very big deal. It's not a few cars. It's not a small recall. It's 11 million cars that they effectively designed software to cheat the system. So we don't know if you have to, what exactly needs to be done. I looked at some of the numbers. Ryan and I were talking about this morning. If they've set aside $7 billion approximately already, and you divide that by 11 million cars, that's about $650 per car. It doesn't seem like that'll quite fix this problem. So it's the unknown legal liability that is plaguing that stock. At one point, I looked at VW stock this week, was down 40%. $25 billion in value wiped out in 2 days. So it's, again, this is a little different. This is not a sticky gas pedal or a faulty airbag issue or a rollover issue like Ford had back in the year 2000. This is more of a perception. It's more of a reputational issue for this company. And I don't think it necessarily impacts car sales all that much. I think it's you're still more likely to continue to be a Volkswagen buyer if you like Volkswagen through all of this, because it's not a safety issue. But that's not the issue on the stock. The issue is how much is it going to cost them? And when the courts are involved, it's an unknown number. So we have this very, very big, could be a continuing to enlarge unknown number. And that's what is ruining the stock, at least for now. So that's number one story that we have. And that roiled markets. I mean, that the VW story took all stocks in Europe down. It wasn't just VW stock. It took all stocks down. Of course, all the automakers, the auto supply companies, and then that translated over here to the United States. So there's a lot going on here. That's one gigantic story of the week. And then, of course, Yellen spoke on Thursday night again, which is the other big story. And she tried to kind of make up for the week before. So she exuded this confidence. This is Thursday night. She spoke about the economy and exuded this confidence, and she said, look, this economy is actually good, and it can handle interest rate hikes. And the Fed will soon embark on a hiking path, which really, to some extent, all of us already know. But the market liked to hear some of that certainty, and the market liked to hear direction from Yellen. And that's why we had a rally on Friday. Now, the rally basically fizzled out by the end of the day. The S&P 500 was virtually flat by the end of Friday and Friday's trading. The Dow was still up. But the reason the Dow was up because of one company, and that was Nike. We'll get to that in a second. So what else happened this week? Of course, John Boehner, he's resigning. Huge story. Pope spoke to a joint session of the Congress. I loved the Pope intro. I don't know how many of you got to hear the Pope actually speak. His English is pretty good. It's slow and relatively clear English in an Italian accent. And speaking to Congress, he opened up by saying how honored he was to speak and be in the country. He said, "I'm honored to be here in the land of the free and the home of the brave." And to open, for some reason, a foreigner coming here and saying that about Americans, to say, "Hey, look, I'm here, I'm amongst you, and I'm here. You guys are the land of the free, and you guys are brave, too." And he got a real applause for that. And it's a wonderful way to open a speech. It's a great reminder, of course, that we are. And the rest of the world still perceives us as that. And that's still very, very powerful. We are also the land of Nike shoes and apparel. And Nike on Friday was up almost a full 9%, which effectively led to the Dow being up 113 points on Friday, even though the S&P was down a point. And Nike is just continuing to be on fire. So we have, they announced a profit of $1.34 a share, revenue $8.4 billion for the quarter. That's up 5% year over year. If you take out the drag of the strong dollar, which is very difficult, it's actually a drag on earnings when you have a strong dollar. You sell in another currency, then you convert back into what is a stronger dollar, you get less dollars. So it's actually a hit on big global companies like Nike or like a Procter & Gamble has to reconvert back into dollars. Without the strong dollar, if you neutralize that, they would have had a 14% jump in revenue. So pretty amazing for a company this size. So earnings up 25% year over year. Up 138% over the last 3 years of the stock, and up 465% over the last 10 years. S&P's up about 60% during that same period of time. And a lot of it is revenue in China. So up 30% revenue in China on shoes, of course, and then, of course, apparel. So there again, we can. It's interesting to get information and economic data that we can actually... Those are numbers we can trust. I can trust numbers that are from China coming through an American company getting reported to us here. So I know that the Chinese economy isn't falling off a cliff if Nike sales are this good. Same thing's happening with Apple in China. So getting economic numbers through American companies that are doing business in China, those are real numbers. So we know now, and this is yet more evidence that the Chinese economy isn't completely falling apart. It's still slower than it was, but it doesn't look as though it's in that hard landing scenario, which means a real recession. And that's obviously good news for the rest of the world. Come back here to the United States, GDP here in the U.S., second quarter revised again to up 3.9%. So we have an economy growing, at least last quarter, at almost 4%. That's not a terrible economy. Unemployment rate at 5.1%. That's not a zero interest rate policy type economy. And that's exactly why Yellen came out on Thursday and said, "Hey, look, market, U.S., we all know the economy's strong. The economy can handle interest rates at a quarter of a basis point or a quarter of a percent, for goodness sake, half a percent, 1%. And that's exactly why markets had a little bit of a rally on Friday. So we're headed there, folks. We're going to raise rates. It'll probably be in December, unless something exogenous happens or some other problem happens. But that's where we're headed. So in the meantime, this is a market that's going to test your patience. We're in the uphill part of a marathon right now. And I was thinking about this. I'm completely out of shape, not working out for months and months and months, to finally signing up for the Atlanta half whatever marathon on Thanksgiving Day. So I've gone from couch to trying to train for that. And I'm running yesterday on this long run for me at least long run. And I realized that, you know, that's, I'm going up this hill and it's just taking forever. And that's where we are in this market. We're in the uphill part of the run. We're in the uphill part of the marathon. These are the times that it's just difficult to do it. You know, we really had almost six years of we were coasting. You know, we went through this great pain in 2007-08 and then this wonderfully uprising market for 6 years after that. And we got a little spoiled and we got complacent. And now that's not the case. In fact, here we are down year over year. If you look over the last year, 52 weeks, the S&P 500 is down a full 5%. Or the Dow is down a full 5%. The S&P 500 is down about 3% over the last 52 weeks. So all the gains that we saw through the end of last year and the beginning of this year, they've been wiped out. And then we continue to bounce along this neutral zone in correction territory. And this is the difficult part of investing. This is the uphill part of the run. So we have to remember to stay patient. We have to remember that in the environment that I believe that we're in, is that we are in this correction territory in a non-recessionary period. And we know that historically, if that's the case, then corrections, they stay just that. They stay just corrections in the 14 to 15% mode or range. And that's about where we are right now. We're not quite there yet. But that means that we could certainly have another 5% from here to the downside. But likely that's where we stay. Remember, corrections that are associated with recessions, not economies growing at 4% for goodness sakes. That's when we get a negative 25% market. And then, of course, as we all remember very clearly, the last two bear markets have been more like negative 45%. I don't think that's where we're going. So if you're young, you should not only be staying the course, but you should drive through. That's my thought for, you see smoke in the, this is my NASCAR analogy, Ryan saying, hey, we got to go. But when you're young, we have to stay the course and actually add to what we're invested in. If you're retiring, we have to focus on what you can control, which is balance and being an income investor and owning quality companies. And that will help you stay the course. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, WSB Radio Atlanta, KRMG, Tulsa.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner, Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Wes Moss right here on WSB Radio in Atlanta, now also on KRMG Radio in Tulsa. Good morning. The phone number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Larry joins us on the line in Atlanta. Larry, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Wes, thank you so much, Wes. Wes, I'm in the process of selling my mutual funds and reinvesting them in ETFs. Someone recommended to me that I sell my mutual funds before the declaration date, before the capital gains, you know, declaration date. Can you explain the pros and cons of doing that?
That's a really interesting question that we haven't had here on Money Matters for a long time. I think part of it is because we talk so much about ETFs, and ETFs are really very rarely subject to what are called capital gain distributions. And that's what Larry's asking about here. He's saying, hey, I own a mutual fund. I want to get out of these things and get to lower cost, lower turnover ETFs, exchange traded funds. They're for the most part, in my opinion, a better vehicle for the long run because of lower costs, lower taxes. And then what Larry's asking about are called capital gain distributions. Here we are in a year, the Dow's down, the S&P's down. Let's say, for example purposes, your mutual fund is down 10%. Well, guess what they can do? Towards the end of the year, well, not can do, will do. Towards the end of the year, let's call it November or December, if that mutual fund had stocks that did have a gain and they had to sell, they might actually have what's called an unrealized or undistributed capital gain. And guess what they have to do? They have to distribute it to you, to all shareholders. So you can have a loss in a mutual fund, yet still get a tax bill for it. Your proportional tax bill. So what Larry's talking about here is that, hey, what if I sell it before that happens? And the answer is, if you do that, Larry, then you don't have to worry about getting that gain distributed out to you. So if you're thinking about making a switch from mutual funds over into ETFs for the most part, this might be a really interesting year to do it. And there are many more pros to doing it the way Larry's thinking about doing it, meaning, hey, let's sell these funds before they distribute out taxable gains to me in a year where your fund probably didn't even make any money to begin with. That's an important thought and a good strategy. So the pros, Larry, far outweigh the cons here, and it's a wonderful call for all of us to think about. You are listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. You can email me, radio@yourwealth.com. Call us in the studio, 404-872-0750. More Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, straight ahead.
We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. This is Wes Moss right here on WSB in Atlanta. Now also on KRMG Radio in Tulsa. Good morning. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can also email me, radio@yourwealth.com. I want to get to Social Security. So we launched, me and the Money Matters team, we launched our Social Security Optimizer, the SSO calculator. We have had a lot of people now take that Social Security Optimizer, and it's been extremely popular, and it's because it's the first time, and I thought it would be because it took us a very long time to find a calculator that does what we wanted it to do. And if it took me that long to figure it out, I knew that it wasn't something you can just Google, oh, Social Security Optimizer. It's not as though it's been something that people have been using a bunch. So it's been very, very useful. I've got a lot of emails that are just thank you emails of, hey, this is great, thanks for helping. And then if your situation's really, really complicated, then again, it's hard for even the optimizer to really help. And that's when you kind of need to do the optimizer and then also talk it through with all the different parameters that might relate back to your life. Let's say you've been married or divorced a couple times. Let's say you might be a widow or widower, or there's a big, big age disparity. There's a lot to think about, and even a calculator can't quite give you all the answers. And that's when it helps to have somebody talk it through with you who knows the Social Security rules. And that would obviously be me and the Money Matters team. We're happy to do that. So the optimizer is at yourwealth.com, yourwealth.com. There's a little gray icon on the right-hand side. It is a little, it's a wheelbarrow with a bag of money in it called the Social Security Optimizer. And that's where you go and you put in your information, and you can find that out from there. You do need to know what you're supposed to get from Social Security starting at any given age. So you have to know your 66 number, when you're sick, your full retirement age number. If you don't know it, there's a link on the optimizer that'll take you to the Social Security website where you answer a few questions, and then you get that number, but you have to get it directly from Social Security. If you haven't gotten one of those green statements in the mail, which by the way, they stopped sending. They used to do it in the mail once every year. Now they're on a once every 5-year schedule. So if you want to find out your numbers, you really have to go to their website, which is ss.gov, to find out your actual numbers. Anyway, let's go to the phones here. The number in the studio, if you have questions about your pension, about Social Security, about mutual funds here at the end of the year, really everything, China, what's happening in the world, everything here is fair game on Money Matters here this morning. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Ryan Ely is here in the studio to take your call and questions and pass them right through here. And we'll see if I can help you answer them. Let's go to the phones here. Gary joins us from Roswell. Gary, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Had questions about conversion to a Roth IRA and the income limits. I'm selling a business, and my income will be up. I'm over 65, and I wonder what what the rules are on that.
Oh, well, that brings into some more complication, obviously, if you're selling a business. Are you, what is the business, or how much are you selling the business for, just approximately, and is it going to be counted as ordinary income, or is it going to be counted as capital gain?
It's a little bit of both, and it's a couple hundred thousand dollars.
All right, so if that's the case, Gary, remember if you have a transaction where you're selling a business, depending on the basis of the business, it's going to add to your adjusted gross income. So you can always convert a Roth. The IRS doesn't care if you have $10 million in income. You can convert to a Roth. And there's some other rules around that. I'll get to that in a second. But really, to contribute your $5,500 or $6,500 to a Roth, depending on your age, it's all about the adjusted gross income. And for a couple, if you're married filing jointly, that number is $183,000, really $193,000, and below you can contribute. So if you're selling a business for, let's call it $300,000, and you have a $300,000, even if it's a capital gain, that's going to contribute. When you do your taxes, that's going to likely contribute, depending on, there's always other items where you might have losses to offset this. But in general, if you were to tell me, hey, I'm selling a business for $300,000, it's going to probably move you out of the category where you can contribute to a Roth. Now, you also said, hey, what about converting? Can I convert? Remember, there are no AGI limitations on that. The IRS loves you to convert to Roth because in order to do that, you typically have to pay taxes on whatever you're converting. So the answer is you probably can't contribute, but if you wanted to convert, the answer is you probably can do that if you want to. Now, the only other caveat about that is they look at all of your IRAs and they look at it from a ratio perspective, meaning, hey, we're going to convert X amount relative to the rest of your IRAs. And that starts to complicate things a little bit, because very, very rarely do you ever want to just convert one big IRA into a Roth. Let's, for example, if you have a $100,000 IRA and you want to put the whole thing into a Roth, it will then add $100,000, again, on top of the business that you're selling, to your adjusted gross income. So not only are you going to have to pay taxes on what you convert, Gary, but it's also going to raise your level of income, which raises your AGI, which raises the bracket that you're in. So it elevates the percentage number you pay in taxes. So that's a really tricky game to navigate. Of course, you want to go to a CPA and run the numbers to see, hey, if I convert 10% or 20% or 50% of my IRA money, that's really, when you're converting, that's how you have to look at it. Rarely do you ever want to convert an entire IRA. You only want to typically convert pieces so that you keep your IRA, Gary, under a certain level, or your adjusted gross income under a certain level. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. John joins us on the line. John, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Hey, I work for a fire department, and we have a retirement plan.
Sure.
That is a defined benefits. Can I say the company name? Does that matter?
It doesn't matter, but go ahead and say it. So you're part of the fire department. How many years with the fire department?
28 years.
God bless you.
So we will retire. I'm slated to retire. Actually, I don't have 28 yet. I'm almost 28, and it'll be 28 when I retire next year.
Got it.
Firefighters can retire at 55, which is a little young to be retiring, but I'll retire with 70% of my salary. And it's a defined benefits that we contribute to. And I'm just curious as to how, you know, I know obviously nothing is completely secure, but how secure are those? How much can I depend on?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We've talked about this a lot over the last few weeks. There's a lot of there have been a lot of questions swirling around pensions lately because Lucent Alcatel, the merged company Lucent Alcatel, in fact, the deadline was a couple days ago, but they were offering this gigantic. When I say gigantic, it was to thousands of people to try to buy out monthly pensions for lump sums. So we've talked a lot about this. The first thing with any pension, particularly a pension of this kind, because it is not a corporate pension, it's really a municipal type pension, you should be able to go to pbgc.gov, so the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp, pbgc.gov, and use the benefits tool that's on that homepage to see if your plan, your particular plan, John, is covered. So that's step one. So you want to make sure that it's covered by PBGC. It's very likely that it is. It's highly likely that it is, but that's the first step for you. The PBGC coverage is scaled because of your age. That's another thought, is that because you are pretty darn young, you're only 55. That's one of the considerations. So because you're only 55, your coverage is actually a little bit less than it would be if you were 65 and you're at your full age. So that's another thought to consider, but you'll find that through, you'll actually be able to find information on pbgc.gov in order to see what level of coverage is. They'll give you some ratio. Say, oh, at 55, X amount is covered at 60. But I would be willing, here's one thing that I've learned in just re-studying the pension market, is that very, very rarely, those who are getting a pension, so they're in the process of getting payments. As far as corporate plans, I have yet to find a corporate plan that the PBG doesn't continue to keep at least the same level of monthly coverage, John, or most of the coverage.
Yes.
In these, what are, if you look at more union type plans, if the plans are for, if they're covered by, let's say you have a pension that is in a sole company that covers it, like let's say the Coca-Cola pension is covered, yes, by Coca-Cola. If you look at some union type plans where you, but let's say it's the Teamsters, or, and I don't even know if this is the right example, but a big union, and they themselves have a pension plan that is for employees that cover multiple different companies, that's a slightly different type of pension. And we have seen some examples where those pensions are modified. The firefighter, is that in your particular pension, I would think that is under a state pension. Is that what that would be for you, or who covers it?
This is separate from the state firefighter pension fund. This is a pension plan that is GIP Corps, which covers. I know they cover a lot of different fire departments and police departments. Actually, the whole county is under this plan. Our whole county.
Okay, so it's a county plan. Okay, so
but a lot of other counties are in this same plan. It's not just one that...
It's not a single employer type of pension.
No, sir.
All right, so those are there's a little more that can happen with those, but even in examples where we've seen those get modified, what we've seen is Congress then come in and make some new provisions to even fill those gaps. So here's the answer. I think you're 99.9% secure for the long, long term. But again, is there anything in the world that's 100%? I think you're very, very safe here. I would go to pbgc.gov and just check this particular plan to make sure it's covered.
PPG.gov, correct?
Right. Pension, P as in pension, B as in benefit, G as in guarantee, C as in corp. pbgc.gov, and that's the first place to start to make sure you have insurance behind the county pension as well. You are listening to Money Matters. You can find me and the Money Matters team. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Contact button on the left-hand side. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Whatever your question is, we'll get back to you within 24 or 48 hours. If it's a little more complicated, we might have to talk that through, which is also fine as well. You are listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here on WSB Radio and KRMG in Tulsa.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. An email just from a listener. Love the show. Live in St. Simons. Listening to Atlanta Radio for Money Matters. Well, thank you for that. Question is, we've got money in... Kinder Morgan. And what's the problem with Kinder Morgan? It's so much lower. Do we continue to hold it? And the answer is, you know, Kinder Morgan, and this is the entire energy space has been hit so hard because oil prices are so much lower. Kinder Morgan is a gigantic company. They put all the pieces of Kinder Morgan together recently to form one huge company. Before the drop in price, it was almost a $100 billion company. Today, it's about a $65 billion company. Chevron's only about a $150 billion company. So Kinder Morgan isn't going anywhere. It's one of the largest energy companies on the planet. And we're in a really rough spot and rough patch for Kinder Morgan and all oil and MLP companies. But again, that's one of the, in my opinion, one that's not going anywhere. So this is another test of your patience to hold it, continue to collect the dividend, the distribution. And eventually, when oil stabilizes, you'll see that in the price of a Kinder Morgan as well. It is time for a quick WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. Ryan, shoot. Go ahead.
The WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack is a family four-pack of tickets to the Wings Over North Georgia Air Show on Sunday, October 4th at the Richard B. Russell Airport in Rome, and a pair of tickets to see Jackson Browne in concert on October 10th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by Live Nation. This week's trivia question, Wes and I have a special guest in the studio. James Lewis is here this weekend.
Hi, James.
And in honor of James and his alma mater, can you tell me which college Shaquille O'Neal played his basketball at?
Let me tell you something. That's not the hardest question. Even I know that one.
It's really not, but it, you know, if you know James, you definitely know the answer.
The number in the studio, the prize line, 404-741-0750. Again, 404-741-0750. All right, that's Quick Money Matters for your Sunday morning. We thank you for the emails, the calls. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Contact button on the left-hand side. Those emails come straight to me and Ryan and James, and we'll get back to you within 24 or 48 hours. Enjoy the rest of this Sunday, beautiful Sunday, and we'll be back live with more Money Matters same time next weekend. You are listening to Money Matters right here on WSB Radio Atlanta, KRMG live also, Tulsa.